Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. We can worship you, that you can refill us, you can strengthen us. And Lord, we receive that today in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Beside my oldest and dearest friend, and if you're asking, can you have a spiritual experience at a Garth Brooks concert, you can ask Adam. You can. But she has gone through breast cancer this year, and she conquered breast cancer this year. And so I'm standing beside her and thinking about what she's endured and some of those songs that I would hear, and I would look at how strong she stood and how much she endured, and she stands here soaking in the goodness of God. And this next song says, it says, "Let go, my soul, and trust in Him. The winds, the waves, they still know His name." And she understands that. I've been through hard times, and I understand that. And God wants you to understand that and to know that, that you can trust Him. Never will He not prove Himself to you. But He is good. And what the enemy means for harm, God always means for good. And so no matter where you are, know that He is working everything together for your good. He has worked everything together for my friend's good. He's worked everything together for my good. And He is going to work. He is working everything together for your good, because He is good. And you can trust Him. Amen.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of His voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on You. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, yeah.
Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the waves and the wind, they know your name. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you work everything out for our good. And we trust you. We love you. We worship you.
I just felt like while I was singing that song that I could just feel how many of you out here were going, yeah, yeah, that happened to me. No matter what has happened, no matter what I've gone through, I've been through it all. Andre Crouch used to sing a song years ago, through it all, and God is there. And so I'm going to ask the O'Neill family, going to be coming, we're going to dedicate Aiden James. What a privilege. We'll do this a little differently than I normally do. That's why I gave Ron my Bible. I didn't want to be tempted to go to it. So I just want to hear the Lord today. And just play kind of softly while we do this. You got it, dude. Follow my spirit. My gosh. Some of y'all stand over here so the church don't get unbalanced. And always kid me, but over the years, my staff is kidding me about all the cousins I have. Well, this is one of my cousins, Lamar Smith. He's one of my cousins, his wife. This is on my mother's side. And so don't ever say anything about me in Griffin, Georgia, because I got a cousin out there that will hear you say it, and it'll get back to me. So I know one of your concerns has been Bobby's not here. And you waited for him to get well to dedicate Aiden. And I remember, you know, as a pastor, I battled with this. And when I was, John Henry was born, and as he got to a certain age, I'd say, gosh, I wish Daddy was here. I wish Daddy could see John Henry. And I'd hear this voice inside me say, I see him. And then Anna came along, and Anna gets to a certain age and said, man, I wish Daddy was here to see Anna. And I'd hear that voice again. I had to remind myself, I see him. I see her. Then when Jet got here, he had been his favorite, Jet. And I said, oh, I wish Daddy could see Jet. And I'm going to hear that voice. I see him. I see him. And I just want you to know that God sees Aiden James. Bobby sees him. And he's rejoicing today over him. Let me get by you right quick. And me and Bobby have been friends since childhood. And it's one of the most difficult yet inspirational eulogies I think we have ever done here. And I just felt the Spirit of God the entire time and really felt the Lord just speaking through. One of the first times I've ever given a prophetic word at a funeral. I don't think I've ever given one, but I gave it to you. And just want to remind you, and you've already called me on the phone and told me that that word's come true. And that God's honored what he said he would do. And so, Aiden James, I just want you to know that I christen you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And your name, Aiden, means little fire. What a name. And the fire of God is going to burn in you. The Bible said that God said to Jeremiah when he said, I'm not going to talk anymore about God. I'm just not going to do it. And Jeremiah said, I couldn't help it because your fire was burning in my bones. And the word of God's just going to burn in you. And for James, I'm just going to let your shirt speak. It says, every good and every perfect gift comes from above. James 1:17. And so you're a perfect gift that's sent from above. And I lift you up to our Father. And Bobby, this is yours, precious grandchild. We dedicate him, and we know that the eyes of the Lord and your eyes are going to be on him all the days of his life. And we just thank you, God, and we thank you for all he's going to do The fire of God's going to burn in him all of his life. And he'll see everything that's good and perfect always comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't that good? I normally kiss them, but I've got a cold, so I'm not going to kiss them. But I'm going to do this. I'm going to give it back to you. And I'm going to say, now raise this boy in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And you're going to see great things come out of him. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Just play softly for a little bit. I'll tell you when to go down. Just finished a study in the book of Revelation on Wednesday nights. And Dr. Ken Mullis just did an awesome, awesome job. We have that series. We may have to redo two of them. And Ken and I are going to do that over the next several weeks. But this series really taught the book of Revelation in a light that we've never seen it in. It really talked about relationship with God. And that's really what it's all about. It's our relationship with God. And Ken, I just want to thank you for committing your life to Eagles Way Church. This series is about the body. And thank you for committing all these years and for being here. And thank you for just being a part of Eagles Way Church. Ralph Martin's not here, but I got John Herbert over here to be my cheerleader. Wow, man, I'm impressed, John. Thank you for being here all these years. You may not know how much of a blessing you've been, but you've been a tremendous blessing to Eagles Way Church, and I just thank you for all these years being here and committing. But, you know, you hear Ralph over here on Sunday mornings. I don't tell you something. That is not Ralph Martin. That is totally opposite of who he is. And so when you see that, just know that that's not who he is. As a matter of fact, he would probably say to in another church, that ought not to be. But for some reason, he feels to do that. And you know what? When he first started doing it, people came and they said, you know, it kind of bothered them. And now when he's not here, they said, man, I sure do miss that guy. Should have missed that guy. Let me tell you, he won't toot his own horn, but let me toot it for him right quick. He's been going to Nigeria for 20 years. Started 20 years ago, he had to pay thousands of dollars to get over there and minister for 10 days or 2 weeks, however long. He had to spend thousands of dollars to do that. This church has grown to the place, and they've changed, even though they're in a third world country. They have changed their mentality from negative to positive, from a poverty mindset to another mindset. Now, this church sends him the money to buy a first-class ticket to fly to Nigeria every time he goes. Every time he goes. Oh, that ain't all. That ain't all. Once a year, they send him a check for $5,000 to take his wife on a vacation once a year. Now that shows you, that shows you what this message of faith will do. It shows you what it will do. It shows you what thinking differently will do. And if it can happen in Nigeria, how many know it can happen here? If it can happen in a third world country, it can happen anywhere. And Spencer, I can't tell you, Spencer Fry is a retired Presbyterian minister for how many, 40 years? 34 years. And he just retired from Hateful, Forest Park, last 18 years. He pastored in Griffin for how many years? 12 years. And I just want to thank you. I'm just honored that you chose Eagles Way Church to come to after all these years. Thank you for being here. Thank you. And one of the things that in the book of Revelation, I decided that Ken was teaching it, was in the first part of it, he wrote to these seven churches. And John commended them. He told them when they were doing good, he told them they were doing good. And I just want to commend you, Equals Way Church. You do good. This is the most peaceful place. I don't ever feel any resistance when I preach. I don't have people come to me and say, oh, I don't believe that. You say, have you ever had that before? You would not believe what I've had before. And I was telling my family what I appreciate about Eagles Way Church right now is a place of peace. And there's not anything more important to know that. And that's because of you, because you just love God and you love people. And I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving God and loving one another, making this a peaceful place, because that's a rough world out there. And they need a place they can come to and have peace on Sunday mornings. Amen? You know, Holly, our children's minister, she posted the other day, and she said this to the parents. She said, parents, try this. For the next 24 hours, only tell your children what they've done good. Just tell them for the next 24 hours everything they've done good, and don't mention one thing about what they've done bad. Just see what would happen. How many know that people respond better to positive than negative? I don't know about you, but I respond a lot better to encouragement than discouragement. I respond a lot better to saying, somebody telling me something good than something bad. And that's what we put here on this earth to do. Amen, dear. All right, John, you got to pick it up over here. Ralph's not there, so you got to help me. All right, God bless you. All right, thank you. Thank you for being here, man. What did I do with my water? There it is. If I get a little slow today and it looks like I'm not getting it, come on back up. Elijah wouldn't even prophesy. Elisha wouldn't. It was Elijah, Elisha, one of them. They wouldn't even prophesy unless somebody was playing the harp. He needed the help. So sometimes you need the help. I've done a lot of series that I like better than this series. I want to tell you something. This is not my favorite series, but I think it's one of the most important series. There's nothing more important than the body of Christ. There's nothing that shows us our relationship with God like the body. You know, he said in his word that we're his children, and if we're his children, then we need a father. If we're his sheep, we need a shepherd. If we're his army, we need a captain, and he's all of that. And if we're his body, we need a head. And the thing that has really come off, and I've said it two times, I'm going to say it the third time, is that the head is where I hear. I need to hear like God hears. The head is where I see from. I need to see the way God sees. The head is where the mouth is. I need to speak the way that God speaks. I hadn't said this one yet. The nose is how we smell, and we need to discern the way God discerns. And so I'm glad I'm not the head. I'm glad he is the head. Aren't you glad he's the head of the church? Oh, aren't you glad that he's the head? Greatest revelation I ever got was he's the head. I read a post early this morning. I've been all by myself this week. Barbara's been in Florida, and I've had a lot of time alone. And it's been good. Not that she's gone. The alone time's been good. And I've gone to bed like at 7:30 at night, and I just propped up on my pillows and just had quiet alone time with God. It's been amazing. Tell you how much I love you. I had an opportunity to go to Garth Brooks last night, and for the third time, and it was about to become idolatry. And so, no, I could have gone. My daughter had graciously bought me a ticket and great seats, and I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel good, and I told her, I said, I'm not going. I said, because I have a responsibility in the morning, and I need to go to bed and rest. My body says rest, and I need to rest. And so I just rested and meditated, and I read a post early this morning, and it said this: the problem with communication. To list, this is a great saying. The problem with communication is that we don't listen to understand. We listen to reply. don't take as many years as it took me to learn that. It was only 20 years ago that I learned that I had to listen to understand and not listen to reply. Because most people, when you're talking to them, they're thinking about what they want to say. They're thinking about how they want to respond. I learned that if I'm sitting listening to somebody and they're saying something I've never heard before, listen and try to understand what they're saying. Again, I want to commend you. When we did the School of Positive Thinking the first of this year, we had 160-something people here on Wednesday nights, and nobody, not one person hearing what they heard ever gave me a negative response. They were positive responses because people are listening to understand and not listening to reply. Always listen to understand. It may be something you've never heard before. It may be different from anything, but just listen to understand. Listen, you're going to have plenty of time in this world to say what you want to say. The Bible says we need to be slow to speak. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. If we could only just learn that. Slow to speak. Colossians chapter 3. I want to talk about four things this morning that needs to happen in the body. And this passage of Scripture is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's one of the first Scriptures that I memorized. And I could quote it, but I'm not going to do that. I want to read it, and I want to point out some things in it. But the first thing that we have to understand, it's all about our attitude. And he says in the first few verses, since you have been raised to new life. When was you raised to new life? When you were baptized in water, you buried the old man, and you came up, and the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, to walk in the newness of life. And so it says, since you've been raised to this new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Now let me break this down for you, what he's saying. I like an old translation. It says, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, what it's not saying that I'm to live my life in some otherworldly way, like the earth doesn't exist. It's not what he's saying. The earth does exist. The world does exist. Other people do exist. And I'm here in this world. But he says, don't think like the world thinks. Don't set your affections on how they deal with things and how they look at things. You know, men have gone to monasteries for years trying to discipline their life. And they have gone and they think, if I can just get in a monastery, if I can just get away from the world, then I can make it. Years ago, they used to beat themselves trying to make themselves do right, until Martin Luther comes along and says, hey, that's not going to work. You can beat yourself all you want to beat yourself. This thing, the only way you're going to do right is when you believe right. And the just are justified by faith. We're justified by faith. One guy went to the monastery and he thought he was going to really get his life together. And he was there and he couldn't say anything for 3 years. But once a year, you got to say something. And so the end of the first year, they came up to him and said, all right, you got 2 words. You can say 2 words. What you got to say? He said, bed hard. All right. Second year came around, they came to him and said, all right, you got 2 words to say. What do you want to say? Food bad. All right, and coming in the third year, they came around and said, okay, you got 2 more words. What do you want to say? He said, I quit. And they said, you might as well. All you've done is complain since you've been here. So monastery doesn't work. You know, what works is that I think the way God thinks. I set my affections, my thoughts on heaven's thoughts. Think the way God thinks. I wrote this down. Live and think from the background. I say I wrote this down. It sounded like it came from me. It didn't. I read it somewhere. Live and think from the background of eternity. See, that's how God looks at things. See, what is eternity? Well, some people think eternity is that when I get Christ in my life, eternity begins. No, eternity has no beginning and no end. See, we live in a time warped, if you will, society. There's no time with God. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. There's no time. Eternity has always been and always will be. And so we must see things from that perspective, because one day, and I love this statement, the verdicts of eternity will reverse the verdicts of time, and the judgments of God will overturn the judgments of men. Wow. Now, you don't hear me talk about God's judgments much, because what God's judgments is not what a lot of people think. God's judgments will be when he overturns man's judgments. Man's judgments may be you're condemned. God's judgment says, no, you're not. I'll reverse that verdict. Man's verdict says guilty. God's verdict says, I reverse that verdict. Not guilty. Ain't that great? See, he's not just, this is hot off the press, you ready? He is not just our advocate, our lawyer in the courtroom. He's sitting in the judge seat too. He's both. And so he not only can be our lawyer who says, I object. He's our judge who says, sustained. That's good stuff. He's not just your lawyer. He's the judge too. So you talking about buying the court out. He bought it out by his blood. And you can't be convicted. He's my judge. He's my lawyer. He's my advocate. He's my everything. Is that good? Thank you. So because of that, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Now, I want you to know what he said to do about sin. Put it to death. Just kill it. Some people try to discipline sin. You can't discipline immorality. It's like trying to quit something. How many know one way to quit? Come on, what is it? What do you call it? Cold turkey. What does that mean? Put it to death. Just kill it. The only way to deal with sin is just kill it. Just kill it. You're in a relationship you ought not to be in. You ain't got but one thing to do. Kill. Now, don't kill the person. Kill the relationship. You just got to stop it. The only way to do it is to kill it. And so he says, this is how you got to put to death sin. George Barner, I'd hate to have his job, but I guess somebody's got to do it. George Barner is a statistician. A church statistician. He's written books. And he does all these surveys on churches. And he comes up with these statistics about churches. Here's one that he came up with. Most. Born again Christians think and behave like everyone else. Wow. Most born again Christians think and behave like everyone else. I've seen Christians that I know are Christians, born again Christians, act and behave just like the world. they think. I mean, the simplest things they don't do. And I wonder, you've been in this walk for all these years and you still can't just overcome that. He says, put to death these things. He says, you used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now, it's time to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, slander and dirty language. And don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off the old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Now, there's anger and there's rage. The difference in the two is this. Anger is this inward boiling thing that you just carry with you. You never get rid of it. It just festers. And when it festers, let me tell you what's going to happen if it keeps festering. The anger is going to turn eventually to rage. Rage is when it's outwardly brought out. It's when it's festered in you for so long. That's why the reason the Bible says don't go to bed angry. Because what happens, it settles in and you get up the next morning, you kind of forget all about it. But guess what? It's still there. And it will keep boiling until you decide to get rid of it. Who's going to get rid of it? I mean, I know most of you know this, but I just have to repeat it again. Listen, you can ask God to take these things away from you from morning till night. I can lay hands on you until you're bald-headed. I can counsel you. I can say, do this and do that. But the only way you're going to get rid of anger and rage and malicious behavior, only way you're going to get rid, guess who's going to get rid of it? Slander? Who's going to get rid of slander? Dirty language? Who's going to get rid of it? Lying? Who's going to get rid of it? Lord, just help me stop lying. Stop. Just stop. Put on your new nature. Here we go again. Be what? Renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I got to renew that every single day. Every single day. My mind's got to be renewed every single day. Every day. You've got to purposely do this. Because if you don't, it won't happen. Because this brain is a computer that's going to continue to work. Things are going in and out of every single day, and you choose what goes in, you choose what comes out. And so I got to renew my mind every single day. Let it be renewed in what is right. Right? Let me renew it. Then he throws this in, and I like it because it's almost, this part is almost out of sync with this flow of Scripture. All of a sudden, he tells you what your attitude ought to be. He tells you what to kill. He tells you what to get rid of. Then all of a sudden, he says, in this life, this what Christ has done, that there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no circumcised, there's no uncircumcised, there's no barbaric, there's no uncivilized, there's no slave, there's no free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in us all. He broke the barriers of birth, of nationality, of ceremonial, of cultured and uncultured, of class. He said, "There's no, from now on, there's none of this." And Christ, you know, it wasn't anything unusual in the early church for a master and a slave to go to the gathering, the synagogue, or now they called it the church. There was nothing unusual for the master and the slave to go to a gathering like this. And the master sit where Ron's sitting, and the slaves stand where I'm standing and preach the word. And the master sits and listens to his slave tell him on the Lord's day the things of God. Boy, I could just see that today. I could just see the owner of a huge organization with thousands and thousands of employees. And he goes to the church on Sunday morning, and the guy who's pushing around a janitor's wagon and picking up the trash and taking the mail and doing all the menial tasks of that huge multi-million dollar organization, and he goes and sits and he listens to that guy preach. That happened. Can you imagine it happened today? Imagine that CEO going to hear the janitor. Diane cleans houses. Can you imagine? And that's what he's saying. I want you to know, before I go any further and finish this thought out, I want you to know that your attitude's got to be like Christ. I want you to know you got to put to death certain things. You got to get rid of certain things. And you got to look at everybody in this world the same, because God looks at everybody in this world the exact same. When you say barbaric, you got to understand what that's saying. He's talking about the scum of the earth. He's talking about people that know absolutely nothing. And he says Christ is in them all. I want to change the greatest revelation you've ever heard, but I think that we need to take it up a notch. I've always thought for years the greatest revelation you'll ever hear is God loves you. The greatest revelation maybe you'll ever hear is God loves everybody. Kind of easy to say God loves me. And that's, look at me. I mean, that's, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he love me? My, well, yeah, he loves me, but he loves that person? That person? Loves him? Loves her? Yeah. For God so loved the, what? All right. So I know what to get rid of now. I got up this morning, and I can tell you did the same thing. Thank God you did. Thank God I did. I got up this morning, and I do what I do every morning. Just about every morning. Now, there's a few I don't take a shower, but not many. But I take a shower, and I put on clothes. Aren't you glad? Everybody say, thank God. And believe me, you thanking God, I did that. Thanking God. You put on clothes. Matter of fact, my mother, I got her, she told me this morning, she said, you look very nice today. And I said, well, I got my mother's approval. I must look really, really nice. So I look nice. Thank you. Because my mother said I do. I don't care what any of you say. It doesn't matter. So you do that, and I thank God you did that too. I'm not just looking. I thank God you put on your clothes today. So since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself. Barbara wasn't here this morning, so I had to clothe myself. Now, I don't know about you, but there's some people here, they're not in this room. Well, there's one I think I see over here somewhere. This one, let me see this dude right here. Let's see him a minute. Hey, buddy. Look at here. Now, you see this guy? I'm pretty sure, he didn't put this on, did he? He didn't put this on. He didn't get up and get ready. He didn't put none of this on. You know why?
He's a baby. Say baby. And if you don't get up and put on these things that I'm fixing to read, guess what? You're a baby. I'm sorry. But if you don't put on your spiritual clothes, you're a baby. And somebody's got to put them on for you. Now, it's cute. It's sweet to put on this. But you had fun putting it on, didn't you? Well, sometimes. And he says, you know, I'm about to kiss him, but I can't do that. Here you go. You know, did he put on this outfit? Seersucker. You know, I mean, dude. He didn't get put this on, though, did he?
His mother.
You know
it's
why?
Amazing, isn't it?
You know why? His mother, he's a baby. Say baby. I'm tired of seeing people who are 30 years Christians who don't put on their clothes. And just as distraught, just as, you would be, if I not put on my clothes this morning, you'd be in disgust. I think God gets in disgust when he sees 35, 40, 50-year-old Christians not put on their clothes. Because you got to do it. Nobody's going to put them on for you. Did y'all dress jet this morning? Yeah. I had to keep all the kids the other week. Wednesday night, take them to school. Boy, they were scared. And so Dusty already warns the teacher, says, now, Jet's, this is what's going to happen in the morning, told the teacher. When Jet gets here, don't pay no attention to what he looks like. And don't tell him what he's going to look like. I don't know if he's going to have food. You may have to feed him. There's no telling what's going to happen. The third thing she said, don't be surprised he don't even show up. He might not make it. And so I got up, and the hardest thing was get this little 4-year-old, 6:30 in the morning. You don't wake 4-year-olds up. Who does that? I thought myself, these are some bad people. Bad people. And so I said, Jet, get up. And Jet, get right back to sleep. Jet, get up. Jet. Anyway, right back to sleep. I come that close. The only reason that I had to get him up because I started to think, I bet he would stay asleep if I run these two to school and got back. But I thought through that one, and I didn't want to get in trouble with the law. So I said, well, I better get him up. So I got him up, but you know what? Still, Anna came in, and little Anna. Got him dressed. I wasn't going to do that. I couldn't. I just don't. Certain things I don't do. I don't know. Never mind. Anyway, we had to get him dressed. And I got him to school, and I did what I didn't know you're not supposed to do. I got out, went around, got him out of his car seat, and sat him down. And then the teacher comes out to get him, and he grabs my leg. And he says, I want to go with you. Whew, he almost did. That close. Anyway, you got the point? Babies don't dress themselves. And I hate to say it, but there's millions of big old adult Christians. Been Christians for 20 and 30 and 40 years and still don't know how to forgive. Still don't know how to put on tender-hearted mercy. Just don't know how to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want to get mercy? You give mercy. Don't ask God to... Oh, boy. Don't ask God to give you mercy if you hadn't given any mercy. He gives mercy to those who give mercy. God loves to see people. Stephen's being stoned to death. Stoned to death. All through Scripture you read, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And Stephen's being stoned to death. He looks at his accusers and he says, "Do not lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them." And Stephen said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, looking over the balconies of heaven and going, there's one who's doing what I died on the cross for people to do." Tender mercies. Kindness. Nobody's kind to me. I wonder why. I wonder why. Never showed an ounce of kindness in your life, and you think everybody's walking around just bowing down and being kind to you. Kindness. This Christianity is not complicated, people. It's the most simple thing in the world. The only reason I can do what I'm doing because it's simple. My mind's not... it's simple. God chose me because he said, it's simple and you're simple. It's simple. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. Making allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for the members of one body are called in to live in peace, and always be thankful. How often? Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Whatever you do or say, do as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him, through God the Father. The band's coming. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 13 that I did last week, but I'm not going to do it all. I just want to do a few verses. 'All of these things,' Paul says, he ends by saying, 'I want you to bind all this together with love.' The Greek translation of that is everything that is about God and Christianity, the glue is love. The adhesive is love. What holds it together is love. I read another post this week, and it was two very old people, and they were walking hand in hand, and the question was asked, how did they make it? How did they make it? How did they live together so long? And it said that in our generation, when things got broke, we fixed it. We didn't throw it away. We just fixed it. You fix things by love. One of the churches in the book of Revelation, he said, "And the only way you're going to fix this is you go back to your first love. The only way I know for you to fix it." And so what Paul says, his prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only a part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, those partial things will become useless. I used to read that and people think, when Jesus comes, all this, no. He's talking about love. And he says, when the full understanding of love comes, these things that are partial are going to become complete. When I was a child, I spoke and thought like a reason as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror, but then we'll see everything perfect clarity. When love's there. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Listen, three things will last forever: faith, and hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, why? Why is the greatest of these is love? Faith worketh by love. What the scripture says. So you can't have faith and not have love. See, some people trying to have faith. Quit trying to have faith. Get love. See, I don't have to get you to have to believe in me. I got to get you to love me. You love me, you believe in me. You don't love me, you won't believe. You don't love God, you won't believe. Again, what's the two greatest commandments? Love God, love your neighbors, yourself. Hang it all on these two. And so he says, I have faith because it works by love. See, the woman who came to Christ and said, will you please come heal my daughter? He says, I can't give the children's bread to dogs. She said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And he saw her love, her great love for her daughter, and he healed her because of the love of the mother. She wouldn't give up. See, God responds to love. You know why? Because he is love. And so faith works by love and hope. How am I going to expect something good from somebody I don't love? I can't. So that's why it's the glue. And so I don't do... Y'all stand and listen, this is so important right here. I'm going to give you some Buren counseling. I don't do much, but this is how I counsel. You ready? Thank God for people like Lynn who counsels. God bless you. And oftentimes you need counsel. You really do. You need to sit down and work through some stuff. Point some of you out, but I'm not. I've been there. I needed some counseling. I needed to work through some stuff. The bottom line, when it came down, when it was all over, what they brought me back to was simply love. You want to straighten your marriage out? Love your wife. You want to straighten your marriage out? Love your husband. You want to straighten your family out? Love your children. You want to straighten your friendship and relationships out? Just love them. Do what the Bible says to do. Now, you're big, you're adults, you've been in this thing a long time. You were wise enough and you were smart enough when you got up this morning to put some clothes on. You put your clothes on because you're supposed to put your clothes on. You're supposed to do that. Well, you're supposed to put on your spiritual clothes. You're supposed to do it. Just like T was talking in the positive class this morning, when he taught his on the way to school, every time he took his kids to school, he told them to put on the armor of God. They put on the armor of God. They were dressed in their other clothes, but they needed something more than that. I need something more than this today to cover this thing. I need love and kindness. I need to put that on, and you and I are the only ones who can put that on. Amen. So let's sing this song, and then Will's going to come and receive the offering. Thank you for giving. You helped us catch up about $5,000 last week. And I want to say this in closing, that the Lord told me this week that I've been looking. He told Abraham, please list this right quick. This is good. He told Abraham, he said, I want you to look at the dust, and I'm going to make your seed like the dust of the earth. And Abraham didn't get it. Didn't get it. But when God told Abraham, now look to the heavens and look to the stars. And when he looked to the stars, he said, then he believed God. And God counted him for righteous. God told me this past week, said, stop looking to the dust for your provision. Start looking to the stars of the heaven. And so now I'm just looking to heaven. I know that God's going to supply every need according to his riches in glory. Amen. And if you stop looking at dust and start looking at the stars, I get wound up again. I just got to stop.
You actually can be seated for just a minute. We got a couple of more things to do. John, I know you got called pastor this morning. If you'll join me, we've got some information we want to share with you, and I'm going to let John start, and then we'll go from there. If you stand here, you'll be right there in that light so they can see you.
Hey, Anytime I get a mic, one of the things I do is auction. So if I start auctioning off all this this material items up here, like the guitars and all that's almost stopped me. But we have a celebrity here, and I think most of you all probably know him, and that's Tommy Ray Goolsbee. Now, Tommy Ray Goolsbee has been given an award from the American Correction Association. This was sort of started by a fellow named, well, really a woman named, you know, women start most things. Anyway, her name was Mary Beard. And she started this, I don't know how many years ago, when inmates come out of prison, they have to have a place to go and a house and so on and so forth. So she started this. Chuck Colson, who had his life changed when he was in prison, as Ray did, was with way up there with Nixon and all that. A lot of y'all probably don't remember, especially the young people. He got involved in this ministry for people who have left prison in order to get ahead of themselves, to improve what they're trying to do. Ray got involved in this also, and there's a national association in this organization that every year they have a different state to go into, and this year it was in Georgia, and they had this banquet down in Forsyth. Well, anyway, forget about all that. The main thing is what he's doing. Since 2008, when he got out of prison, he has taken 14 inmates from prison and have changed them from inmates to productive Christian citizens. Now, he received an award, and that's wonderful, because you got to have awards in this world, I guess. But the main award that he's received is none of these 14 people that he's worked with have had to go back to prison. See, when you get out of prison, you don't have any money, you don't have anywhere to stay, you got to get jobs, you got to go to probation office, and this is difficult. And most of them have cars or anything. And I know some of these individuals. And all of us are real happy about that and so on and so forth. But I guarantee you one thing, these 14 people that have had their life changed, thank the good Lord in heaven for Tommy Ray Goolsbee, and I think we ought to give him a standing ovation. He's in his shirt all the way in the back.
Come on down here, Tommy Ray. The award was for outstanding work for reintegration of prisoners. Tommy's an educated man. He has worked hard. Some of his college came from Georgia Tech. Some of his college came from Liberty University. He has his PhD, master's and all. Worked his tail off. He's had some difficult times, but we're proud of him and what he's done. And in the directory that you see that will be coming out soon, his picture is going to be in there under other ordained ministers that are in our congregation. And we have several that have been ordained. Donnie Thurston and pastor here and different ones. But we want to recognize some of the things and the accomplishments that he's doing. He's making a difference in this state. He's taking Fridays and going to prisons, ministering and sharing the word, helping these gentlemen. He has wardens that are calling him saying, I need your help. There's going to be more opportunity for you to get involved in this ministry in the future, and we'll keep you apprised of that as we're kind of working on that. So,
his ministry is called the Caves of Adullam. And, of course, they need all the support that all of us can give him.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom. You can be seated. Our ushers will begin preparing. Receive our morning's tithes and offerings. Go ahead and begin passing those out. I want to remind you that our first 6 weeks on Wednesday night session has come to an end, and we start our new six-week session this Wednesday night. There'll be a class going on here in the sanctuary that is Judge Not, Learn How. So if you have a tendency to want to judge folks or come out, you can learn how. Actually, this Wednesday night, Pastor Dusty Tackle will be leading that one. This Sunday, you have the opportunity for Pastor Ralph Martin to be speaking. So make sure you invite some friends to come and hear Pastor Ralph this Sunday. And so lots of things taking place. In the conference room, not this Wednesday night, but starting next Wednesday night, the parenting class will start. So if you are interested in that, I need you to let me know that you're planning on that so that we make sure we have a lot of room. And then Michael Thurston and David Fountain are doing a home group, small group. And so touch base with them if you are interested in that aspect of it. Let's pray and we'll bless this offering. And then as the band sings our final song, the last Sunday of each month, we emphasize the alms. The alms goes to the missions and those that are in need. And so you can bring and you can give that. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Receive so much from you. Be encouraged. But Lord, we can give to you also. Take these tithes and these offerings and alms, Lord, for the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be calmed and broken for my